Hello, this is Jennifer Hill, and the show is Finding Common Ground. Welcome to WBFY, Belfast Community Radio's talk show. And we're live here in the basement of Waterfall Arts, WBFY 100.9 FM, Belfast, Maine. We're streaming live at belfastcommunityradio.org. I'm here today with Mac Page and John Butler of the Maine Militia. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So since there are two of you and you're both guys, it might be, at least in the beginning, if we could just say your name so we'll know which one's talking. Because I know, you know, Mac, you don't want John to think, you know, people to think that you're him or opposite, right?
Well, we are in disguise, correct?
No one will ever know. So I've prepared some questions. We're talking about the Maine Militia mostly. And I know you have led parades because I went and saw you one in Searsmont, and you also help people in need. But what exactly is the Maine Militia formed to do?
Help people.
And Mac, tell us more about that.
Well,
what does that mean?
The Memorial Day Parade, the first selectman came to me and said he needed somebody to carry the colors. A color guard, because he couldn't find anybody to do it, and asked if the militia could help. And I said, of course, we put a color guard together, and we've led that parade for 16 years.
Wow.
And
what's a color guard? That means you wear...
carry the flags.
Red, white, and blue?
Yes, and the state flag and the militia flag. And everybody knows who we are. And they come out of the crowd afterwards, shake our hands, say thank you. We know the militia will be there when we need it.
Now, what does that mean?
Yes, what does that mean? That means if somebody's down in their luck, we can help them in many different ways. With giving them rides, gather firewood. Like during the ice storm of 98, we'd haul generators all over for people.
That was an amazing storm, wasn't it?
That was very entertaining, to say the very least. We tried to work at the time with the emergency management, but we found that they was overwhelmed, and we just done our own thing. Helped a lot of people.
Even this past winter, the storm, I spent probably 2-3 weeks...
This is John Butler.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Thawing pipes, hooking up generators, moving things around, getting people food and water, and keeping everyone warm until the power came back up. We do all kinds of stuff.
But your mission isn't. You're not an organization just designed to help people in crisis, or is it?
We help educate the people to what their rights are. Do's and don'ts. And that's basically, we're like the old civil defense used to be.
Oh, really?
You'd have a storm come up, we call a bunch of people, especially
so
the shut-ins.
Your emergency preparedness.
Yes, yes. Now, in September 8th at the YMCA, we'll be there set up with our table for emergency preparedness talks. And people can come there and ask us questions and see what we're all about.
So how is what you do different from the National Guard? But it doesn't sound like what you do is at all like the National Guard. They don't do those things.
Actually, I had that conversation just recently with a cousin. And he's in the National Guard, and we hadn't seen each other for a while, and we were talking about it. And he said, so what's the difference? And I looked at him. I said, where was your first deployment? He goes, oh, we were over in Africa. And I said, exactly. We don't go out of state. We don't go overseas. We are here. We are in the state of Maine.
Okay. And you help people with emergency preparedness?
Yes.
Okay. So is part of your purpose to protect Maine citizens?
Definitely.
So, and that's, how do you do that?
Well, one phrase that we've cloned for quite some time, when it happened, there'll never be a Waco in the state of Maine. That's not acceptable.
Waco, Texas, where a lot of arms were found.
They were licensed gun dealers. They earned their money by going to gun shows and trading. There was nothing found there that was illegal.
It was like an arsenal, though, right? Huge arsenal?
If you're going to go to some place to sell cars, don't you have a car used lot?
But wasn't that a cult or something, as I recall hearing?
Isn't every religion a cult in some way?
So it was a religion, and you're not a religion.
We're non-religious, but we do have a chaplain in our group.
Oh, yeah.
Two things you never talk about is politics and religion. But we have a chaplain, and sometimes she's...
Do you have a huge arsenal, like they did in Waco?
And what's huge?
that's a good question.
Now, is it an elephant or is it a poodle?
Yeah.
Now,
so,
there's a guy who has a lot of antique automobiles. Uh-huh. Is that unacceptable? Because he has too many and this fellow down the street doesn't have any?
Well, if they're all going to drive them and hurt people with them.
Well, they are driving them down sidewalks and hurting people, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That is happening in the world.
I've never seen a gun jump up a wall and chase anybody around.
I never saw a car drive itself, but they say they're going to be having them.
who are religious fanatics hurt people. And that's
true.
Unacceptable.
True. So your purpose is to protect Maine citizens. What are you protecting them from? John?
Anything that could take away rights, could hurt them, cause harm or damage. Like I said, you know, even during the ice storm, you know, cold, hunger. As far as talking about Waco, I mean, if that was they were within their rights to be doing what they're doing, that was with it. Whether you agree with it or not, if it's part of their rights, it's part of their rights to do what they want to do, as long as they're not harming or hurting anyone else.
Well, let me ask you, John, is any arsenal too big?
Arsenal is an interesting word.
Well, we were talking about Waco. I'll ask Mac the question. You were laughing.
I have sat down as we are here with two survivors of Waco, and I know exactly what happened there. There is a DVD that was put out called Waco Rules of Engagement, and it was a documentary. Wasn't influenced by the government, any law enforcement. I think everybody should have a chance to view that, and it lets you do your own thing.
Well, do you think that was too big, that arsenal in Waco?
No, not if they're gun dealers. They were licensed gun dealers, federal firearms licensed gun dealers. They are also Class 3 people on the property.
What's Class 3?
Full automatic weapons.
Probably the highest level of licensing that you can get for a firearm, and it's not an easy thing to get.
I'm really at a loss.
There's a lot of process to getting that, and a lot of background checks. And
my memory of Waco was that was a cult, and there were families, and there were weapons, and there were religion.
That was probably part of fake news.
Might have been fake news.
Now, like I said, I have talked to two survivors.
People who were there.
So you're defending their right to do that. To have that arsenal. It's okay, you can do that.
To live. Yeah. They didn't need a tank driven into the side of their house. And if they are a cult, well, you can, like I said, you can go down to any church on a Sunday.
Well, maybe it's fake news. I'll have to go do some research on that. I really don't know. I mean, I wouldn't know if I'd find out anything, but I can look around.
I say, please prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But
sure.
You can't.
My two favorite words are, you're right. But so basically, you're protecting people from each other?
To some extent. We have, what's the word? Some people come to us with abusive spouses.
Okay,
and
great
I need
example.
Help. I need to move. I need to move this weekend. Could you, you know, you said, if I call the police, they'll kill me, kind of thing. Okay, well, you called us. We'll take the appropriate steps and get everything done and safe legally. that's probably one example.
And so you would help those people.
Just last year I had someone who called me, was desperate, abusive. I drove a U-Haul truck.
Did you go talk to the guy? Mm. Oh, you helped him move.
Basically, I served papers to the guy.
Yeah. Because
things had to be done very, very quickly, yeah. And I got her moved really within 15 hours and out of there and gone and done.
So. John, did you ever see that movie that was filmed in Maine called In the Bedroom, where the guy, some guy's daughter was killed, and all through the movie you were in on the... Oh, this, yeah. Anyway, whatever the details were, he ended up taking care of the guy, you know, in the end. It was really quite amazing.
Well, we don't go around beating people up. For
exactly, no.
But we certainly do have conversations with them.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, are you armed right now?
I got two arms, a left and a right.
Just curious.
No,
I mean,
no.
You don't have to answer that question.
There are no firearms on me.
You don't have firearms? So you don't wear them all the time?
Not here.
Not here.
But they aren't that far away.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'd rather have a gun than not need it, than need a gun and not have it.
Kind of like a fire extinguisher. You really don't want to have to be in a situation where you use a fire extinguisher.
Do you do a lot of target practice?
It's like the priest. She, every time I saw her in town, there's the militia. Real nasty. And then she walked by and go, gun, 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 gun. And I was in the bank, and she walked in with a couple of deacons. And she started again. And I had enough of it. And I asked her, I said, do you do missionary work? Well, I already knew the answer. She said, well, of course we do. We're over in... My favorite word to describe a foreign country is Bengawi, because I can't pronounce most of the names anyway. So
we grew up of an age where we weren't good in geography.
So I said, well, all right, let's do a scenario. You're there in Bengawi having supper with your family. The door flies open. There he is, the local guerrilla. With a machete. He kills your husband, ties up the children for whatever, sale later, and tears your clothes off, throws you on the table, and has his way with you. Well, that minister just about turned white as a sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can imagine.
Sensationalism.
Yeah.
I said, or we'll go to part B. The door flies open. There he is with this machete. Your husband turns around, grabs an AK-47, taps him three times, and drops him like a hot rock on the front porch. Which one would you want? Situation A or B?
What'd she say?
Never talk to me again. Never talk to me again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I say to people. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Simple.
Okay. I know that you, Mac, are the commander of the entire statewide Maine militia. And so, so who do you serve under? I know soldiers all serve under somebody. Who do you serve under?
The governor, really. The citizens.
The governor is your boss, ultimately?
Yeah, if we're needed, he's the one who will call us out.
And are you paid?
No.
Okay. And are there other militia groups in the state of Maine? Or is it are you the only one?
There are other groups in the state of Maine.
They don't call themselves militias?
I think there's one or two that use that word. There are other responders, different groups. We are the ones that are recognized by the governor, and we have met with the governors, and they have our phone number for the past several administrations.
Oh, so you know the governor? Oh, cool. Mr. LePage.
We are the official, the Maine State Militia. There are other organizations out there that do similar kind of work. Some are benign, some are more aggressive. We do weed out anyone who might be aggressive or
that was one of my questions.
With actually doing good. We keep tabs on some of those other organizations? Just for knowledge.
We have a two-tier question and answer. The only phone number you'll find or contact is me. It starts with me.
What happens if you kick off the bucket?
My second in command will take over.
And then you will be the only one contacted. So it's kind of a secret group. I wonder.
We do have a lot of people that contact through, we have a website and a Facebook page, and a lot of people contact through that, and they inquire and basically are given Mac's phone number to give them a call and go through that.
See the screening. Let me just let folks know that we are talking today with John Butler and Mac Page of the Maine Militia. It's Jennifer Hill, Finding Common Ground. So I have the question, how many members do you have, or is that a secret information?
Know.
You don't know. So no. You don't have cards that you carry in your wallet. You don't pay dues.
No. We don't have any secret handshakes or anything.
No
like
secret
that.
Handshakes?
No.
We're organized by county.
Usually people wave to me and they use all their fingers most of the time.
So you were going to say you were organized by?
By county. There's a state staff. And we meet with the county coordinators.
So you have a staff?
Yes.
Paid?
No, not paid.
Oh, okay.
All volunteer.
Wow.
The county coordinators individually know the people in their county and do their...
Why so secret about all of it?
It's not that it's secretive. It just seems to work really well that way. Like,
but, I mean, that's got to be a lot of work just to have one person doing all the filtering of information.
Well...
That's the second stage.
Yeah. It's not secretive. We're out there. I mean, our brochures are everywhere.
But nobody knows. You don't. You know everybody, but say a rank and file doesn't know.
They don't have to. This was set up long ago.
Okay.
And I used the
when?
IRA manual to set this organization up.
IRA? Mm. What does that stand for? Irish Republican Army?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And you set it up?
Yes.
After Waco?
Four of us at the time.
Wow.
And I'm the E pluribus unum.
So you set it up according to how the Irish Republican Army
set it up. I figured if they could outsmart the British, and it was Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
And they all clicked.
And you're from Belfast.
Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So the kind of the group is headquartered right here in Walda County.
They had a meeting back in the day when they were demonizing the militias. The news media was doing it because Clinton wanted them to.
And Bill Clinton or his wife?
Oh, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. And
be careful now.
Back in the day, that was when President Clinton was
Clinton, Bill Baby.
Yeah.
He was trying to demonize us. Because he knew what we were all about.
What did he think you were about? Because I can't imagine him demonizing from what you said.
Exposing him for what he really is.
Oh, you were exposing him?
Oh, gosh, yes. We were in contact
with
Michigan.
So that sounds like a political mission.
Not necessarily. If a man does a crime, people should know about it. Now, we were working with the Michigan militia. And it was Michigan was very well organized by a minister. Noam Olson was his name. That organization was infiltrated by federal agents who started making bombs and going around saying he was going to get this one or get that one or do this or do that. And then they opened up the floodgates and the militia started fighting amongst themselves.
I was going to ask about that.
Now, the best way to destroy an organization, no matter what it is from within.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Another great example was McVeigh.
Timothy.
It was all over the news that Timothy McVeigh, the bomber, was, part of a militia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was very frustrating because...
I thought he was a frustrated farmer.
Probably
that's his brother.
Oh. But it was the family farm, right?
No, he wasn't involved in that. Go ahead.
Wasn't the bomb fertilizer?
No. Yeah, but the whole...
Yeah.
I remember seeing all over the news that he was part of this militia, okay, and that militia, and all these things. And that's part of our vetting process. He was... He showed up, spoke his piece, was kicked out immediately, said, you're not showing up to another meeting. Not with us. What was it? Michigan? What was it?
Twice in Michigan. They threw him out on the second.
Those are not the people we want to be associated, right, with. And they called the authorities and said, this guy's a danger. He's got all these radical ideas. He wants to do this. He wants to cause harm. And he eventually did, but that was not what the militia was about, and they got such a bad rap. And all these organizations got a real bad name about that, because we, mm-hmm, if someone's going to even slightly lean that direction of causing harm to others, we're...
Yeah, I want to...
They're not part of us, and we're calling the people to follow up on it, the authorities.
So I wanted to ask first, is everyone in the organization a veteran? Is that like a requirement?
That's not a qualification.
Okay.
Anybody can be a member.
Do you have to carry a gun or know how to use one?
But you have to have, in order to come on board with us, you have to swear an allegiance to the main constitution, the United States Constitution. You have to have a firearm with 100 rounds of ammunition, eating utensils, and an knapsack.
So you do have
basically
to have a gun.
That hasn't changed since the Revolutionary War.
That's where
that
came from.
That is the same exact requirements for any of the militias.
So the staff also of your organization, they also have to have a gun with that, whatever
be
you
a
say.
Member with us, you do.
Including the staff.
That's exactly what the Revolutionary Army had.
Are there women serving?
Oh, gosh, yes.
And that you don't have members who just like to cook and, you know, want to help you guys. They're not a member, though, unless they have a gun and the ammunition.
They need to have them with them all the time. I mean,
but
we
have
some
it.
People who are very retired, very
yeah,
elderly, who can't
they
move around
help
so much, but they can man a radio. They can drive a truck.
Okay.
A whole bunch of different things that needed to be done.
Okay. Yeah, I figured that. I was wondering if everybody had to have a... we have a caller.
It's Jim Murphy.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
I can't hear you.
Okay. All right, sorry. We're having trouble with that.
Well, the word militia drums up all kinds of demons with the news media, because they really went after the word militia.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the Clinton era.
Do you think you're changing the meaning of the word militia? It sounds
no,
like...
we're moving right straight ahead, because it says in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia. And I'm proud to be a member of that militia. We could have called ourselves Tinkerbell's Choir.
Right.
But
exactly,
the problem is with something like that, if you think about it, all the bureaucrats have to do is draw a line around that Tinkerbell's Choir and say they're carrying guns, they are domestic terrorists, and they can...
Have
go
you been
after
called
them
that before?
Hmm?
Have you been called that before?
Oh, we've been called lots of different things, but it doesn't stick. But they can't do that with us, because we are the militia.
Okay.
We are there for the people.
Do you have to pass a psychological or a physical evaluation to join your group? John?
Physical? Let me start at the end and work up. Okay. Physical, like you said, there are some people that can't do much.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as we know what someone's restrictions are, we can have them do this and have them do that. Someone's grandfather that works really good on a radio or can drive a truck, I'm not going to have him run that generator up with snowshoes 3 miles up a driveway. As far as psychological evaluation, that's the you know, Mac talks to them first, and then a new prospective member, and then is handed off to the county coordinator, and then the county coordinator talks to that person, and then there's a sit down with everybody.
Kind of informal.
Yeah, but it's getting to know the person. What do you do? Where are you from? What are your thoughts? What are you...
And you might say
doing?
No.
And we often do.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you're not...
Have you ever been afraid of a fellow militiaman?
No.
That was Max says no. Never been afraid of one.
Well, he's driving sometimes, but that's...
So, what do you do when you're faced with a scary person with a gun, Mac?
Pardon me?
What do you do when you're faced with a scary person with a gun?
Turn the TV off.
You're quite the wit, Mac Page.
Well, I'm a mean Yankee and pretty proud of that.
So but you've never met anybody
has a gun and they pointed at me. They know me. I won't put up with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So people have pointed guns at you?
Yes.
Yeah. And you just talk them down?
Have
you ever shot anybody domestically?
I've shot at people.
Wow, but you missed. Okay, hold on. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I'm very interested in your show today. It's a very good show. But I just had a couple of questions. Number one, is there any financial support that goes to these, either through the government or private concerns that goes to the militia? And number two, is there a militia in every state? I assume this is a state organization. And
okay.
I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you very much. It's a wonderful show.
Thank you, caller.
Answer number one is no. We're all volunteer, and we're just about as poor as a church mouse. Any monies that we go in, that we take in, goes towards photocopying or something of that nature.
Okay.
And you answer the second.
Oh, the second question was about the states.
Most states have a militia. I know Kentucky has two or three that work together. Michigan, like I said, they were destroyed from the inside, and they came back in groups. Mm-hmm. Little communities started getting together.
But not every state. Some, but not all.
37 that we know of.
37 that we know of.
37.
I said Michigan was one of the larger organizations. They came apart, and now they're very small again. Yeah. So for a few years, they were zero.
Yeah.
Some states have, some states haven't.
Well, with volunteers, you have people coming and going.
Some states are afraid, and they do have an organization, but they keep just low profile because they're afraid of
the M word.
The M word. What the M word some of their neighbors might think, even though they're trying to help them.
See, we... We do the same thing with any group that contacts us as we do with a person who contacts us. We check them out. And if they're a bunch of wing nuts, we don't contact them.
What's a wing nut?
Somebody that's not stable.
Someone we don't trust, someone who's not stable, someone who's too extreme.
Because you hear frequently about military people coming back from war having been affected by trauma and, you know,
post-traumatic is everywhere.
Post-traumatic, yeah. Does that concern you, people having guns and being in a traumatic state, having come back from war? Or do you screen them out as you talk to them?
We screen them out.
Yes. Yeah. Some guys, some good friends of mine who have come back and are looking, did service. They joined because they wanted to help. They wanted to do the right thing. They wanted to be active. And when they came back, they found not much to do. And we give them direction. We have a food truck that we're putting together with some veterans that drive around and feed mobile. What's the word? Food pantry. Yeah, think of the word.
Mobile kitchen, so we can go to any of our events and feed. People, we want to be as self-sufficient as possibly we can.
It's a New England thing.
Yes, and
the whole state wants to be, or your organization.
Everybody should be self-sufficient. They should have, and it kind of makes me chuckle. Now they had Katrina and all this kind of stuff. Well, they're all picking up things that we have been doing for years, telling people to have at least 3 days' supply of everything. All our members carry 3 days of rations with them all the time in their vehicles or have access
prepared,
to immediate
preparedness.
Long before I became a part of this, I still do actually a lot of traveling. And I remember out in Wyoming where you can see the town 3 or 4 hours before you get to the town. I started carrying lots of extra supplies in my Jeep. And
out there,
you
get stranded.
Exactly.
You're in trouble.
A lot of the I learned that from a lot of the ranchers out there who carry water and blankets and supplies and all kinds of things with them all the time because you never know what can happen. I live in New England. I grew up here, and things happen. The ice storm,
right? Emergency preparedness. I get that.
I like having a meal, being warm.
It's very surprising how many people shop for their supper on their way home.
Yeah.
And we've devised a plan.
Just in time, they call it.
Yeah. And I was visiting some friends in D.C. I was going through the Smithsonian decades ago. I went down there from a little trip of my own. And they would do that. They'd shop on the way home. Well, they went to a little market, got the food, and they come around to pick me up at the Smithsonian, because I spent all day in there. And they said, well, we got to go back to the market and pick up something else. But that time that they came to pick me up, that small amount of time, the market had been robbed.
What would you have done if you were there?
That would depend on the situation.
Okay,
now,
fair
we
enough.
Have devised a list of how you can get a year's supply of food stocked up for $8 to $10 per week. And it, you know, we give this out to people, the non-members, the first week, second week, third week, what you might buy.
Emergency preparedness.
Tomato soup, 20 pounds of sugar. And this would be a year's supply, done very quickly.
I saw on Facebook the Bangor Police Department just a couple of days ago were talking about a man who was wrapped in the American flag attending a 4th of July ceremony, and he was carrying a shotgun. And he had a mask on, and it was frightening people. Somebody called them. They suggested this was a bad idea given all the mass shootings. What do you think? Do you think
wearing
this should be perfectly legal?
The American flag as a piece, as a garment, is not acceptable.
You think it should be against the law?
We have enough laws. It should be common sense. That's something that's not being taught.
Would you stop someone doing that?
I would ask them to take it off.
And if they didn't?
Well, I could get down to Belfast on any given weekend and tell those people down there to stop burning the American flag and teaching children how to burn the American flag.
Would they do it? If they
That's
didn't
up
do
to
it?
Them. That's
oh, so you would be cool with that. So would
it's their right to do so.
Yeah.
I don't think it shows a lot of respect.
For the people.
For the flag.
But carrying the gun wrapped with the flag, carrying it open.
Well, masks are just scary, period.
Right, right.
You can do that with a flag. You can carry a weapon down the street in Maine. If you're going to be instigating something, if you're looking for trouble, like
the
this,
man claimed he didn't mean to do anything. He just was having fun with the mask and the flag and the shotgun. But it was scaring the people, and the Bangor police were saying that they didn't think that was a good idea.
Well, I don't think
I'm just asking.
A good idea
what would be the difference
either?
When somebody gets in trouble, what's the first thing you do? Call a man with a gun. A police officer.
I'm not familiar with this particular incident.
Yeah.
But if, you know, talking about Second Amendment, talking about First Amendment, you know, the right of free speech. There are certain unwritten protocols. You can't. It's not acceptable to scream fire in a theater.
Right.
I don't know any details about that story. I haven't read the article.
Does that seem like the far reaches of what you think should
like
be permissible?
That's pushing the limit right there.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable.
Because it was scaring people.
Yeah.
Are you both members of the NRA?
I'm not.
I am not.
Oh, interesting. I realize I need to do a station announcement. This is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. We're streaming live at belfastcommunityradio.org. And our phone number, if you'd like to give us a call, is 338-2277, area code 207 if you're out of the area. So you're not members of the NRA. The NRA has been criticized for representing the interests of gun manufacturers most recently rather than gun owners. Would you agree with that assessment? Or?
Well, you see that Remington is... was Remington a savage?
Who's Remington?
Remington, wasn't it?
Is that a gun?
That's a manufacturing.
I'm not sure which one, yeah.
I understand they went out because of no liability insurance. They couldn't get the coverage for manufacturing firearms. This is too bad. Very sad that all those people lost their jobs because of people saying guns are terrible. Guns is not the problem. Education is the problem. A gun is a tool, not a toy. And That's just what has to be projected to everyone. Mm-hmm. A gun, you pull a gun, it's the last straw. Something serious is going to happen. You never pull a gun unless you're going to have a gunfight.
In an interview with the Bangor Daily News, Mac, you're quoted as saying about the past and history, all citizens were expected to participate in annual militia musters. You brought your own gun and your own jug of rum to the muster, and everyone had a good time. I was wondering if you could tell us what a muster is, and is it ever a good idea? Was it ever a good idea to mix alcohol with
muster, we bring a jug
weapons?
Of rum?
That's what you were quoted as saying. Maybe they got it wrong.
Where was that quoted?
Bangor Daily News. Mm.
I don't remember that one.
That was in 2010. It was a long time ago. They saved their papers forever. I just found that quote online.
I don't remember him saying
that,
and it's not something he would
say. So that didn't... What is a muster?
Camp out. A meeting.
Pre-colonial days, they'd have a muster. You'd have a bunkhouse.
Muster. It's a funny word, like I mustered my
Just a story I was reading recently about some of the early settlers in upstate New York. They'd have their little bunkhouse, their little fort, very small place, and then all the settlements all around the region, and they had to defend it from other settlers, natives, all kinds of different things. You know, even just a wicked winter. They would store food and ammunition, and they would call in once a month or once every couple months, or depending on the crops, they'd call everyone in and practice together.
What does that mean? Target shooting or marching?
Sometimes both. If there was the British were coming,
yeah,
or the Mohawks were coming, or anything, they needed to know that you have a working weapon to defend the families and farms, and you knew how to use it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up this idea. I've heard people say that, you know, when the Constitution was written, they were talking about muzzle loaders that you had to, you know, push the powder down in and, you know, shoot and then reload like that. And now we've got these amazing automatic, you just pull the thing and all
that
these people
actually
are
actually is a Class 3 license, which is very, very difficult to get. To go, like
yeah.
That.
Go, but do you think people ought to have, you know, should we have a free license for people to, given that, you know, 200 years has passed or 200 and however many?
It's not a free license.
Times change. Like
times do change.
Times change. And we went from the horse and buggy to the Model T. Now
That's
we
right.
have Learjets.
That's so right. And different rules.
Different
apply.
Rules and regulations.
There wasn't internet or TV or radio during when they wrote the First Amendment.
Right. Right. So my question
evolve.
Would be, should we have that same Second Amendment that says we're all free to have weapons, given the fact that the weapons have changed so much? Like, if they wouldn't recognize George Washington or whoever it was, wouldn't recognize...
Well, I wouldn't want you to have a car that does over 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
That's the law. How would you like that?
Yeah. Oh, well, we might have fewer accidents.
If I want a car that does more than 50 miles an hour, I'll go get it. And I'll pay the ticket after I go over 55.
Yeah.
But if I have a collection of a firearm and I have the proper documentation for that firearm, why does everybody have such a heartburn? It's just a tool.
It's a killing tool.
So it's a...
Killing what?
Axe, scissors.
Pencil.
Yeah.
Hammers. Responsible use of any of these tools is responsible use.
But it would be hard to kill somebody with a pencil, Mac.
You
have to admit that.
Well, that's the thing. You'd have to...
You'd break the lead.
Killing is bad.
Uh-oh. He's got a pencil.
Killing
is bad. Yeah.
And whatever tool is used. And
yeah. Because these killings... Let me ask you this.
Defending
if
is
you
different
were attending,
than killing.
If you were attending the concert in Las Vegas... where all those people were killed. How would, if you'd been in the audience, how would you have handled it?
I would have gotten everybody to a safe spot as quickly as I possibly could. Mm. There's no response to that, where it appears, looking at the reports, that the shooter was very far away and he had an elevated position. I would do everything in my power to drag people to safety.
That's what the militia does. They help the people to safety, to get out of harm's way.
Right. And they carry guns to ostensibly shoot somebody who is doing the killings, I assume.
We protect people. The police department carry guns. They protect people.
Is there an aspect of vigilantism about the Maine militia? Are you authorized to attack in case of unlawful behavior?
Some of our members are constables, sworn constables.
That's a paid position? Or?
No. And you can do a citizen's arrest.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will present itself sometime in the future.
Okay.
I guess it would be very, to answer your question, defensive. Defensive.
Defensive posture.
I don't ever want to hurt anybody. Right. I really don't. I would do everything in my power to keep that from happening, having to hurt somebody. But many years ago, I was at a college out west, and someone was screaming for help. I went, and there was a woman and a guy was being very aggressive, and he had a lot of drugs in his system.
Mm.
Whatever I did, he didn't feel, basically. I finally did subdue the person, but some people, I'd love being able to talk people down from bad situations. But sometimes if you get two or three or four or bigger than me or anything, I'd like to be able to defend.
Were you trained in the military to do that kind of thing? Because this is a real specific kind of...
I am not military.
Oh, you've never been in the military?
No, I was born on an Army base and raised with a lot of Navy.
So you don't have to be a veteran to be in
correct.
The group?
No.
Oh, that is interesting.
I have...
That's a stigma that everybody has, and we try to say volunteer. We don't ask if you've been a veteran. Doesn't matter. You are a member of the militia.
Okay.
I was a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout before that. I have a whole bunch of younger sisters. Protecting people and helping people is something that brought me into the organization because I saw what Mac was doing. And I had known him for many years with the railroad. And I said, I want to be a part of this because it's an outlet for me to do good.
Okay, well, on the Maine Militia Facebook page, an individual named David White writes, it looks as if we may need to call upon you guys sooner than anyone thought. The dissension here in the Northeast is real. He goes on to say, I'm willing to offer you assistance you may require. I'm a medical professional, but moreover a survivalist. I have medical equipment that would prove helpful. What is he talking about? Do you know?
Being a member of the militia. Helping people. You look around, everything is coming apart.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that.
I see a lot of angry people.
Yeah.
All in businesses. Right here in Belfast. They got to set up a classroom for the council to get along with the people. Come on, people. It's common sense. I don't know if our mayor
is
a little naive.
Be nice to people.
You treat people the way you want to be treated. And
golden
that's what
rule.
You should receive. Common sense. Common ground, as we're talking here.
Right.
You don't need to go out and punch somebody in the head. Go up and talk to them.
So when he says the dissension here in the Northeast is real.
I see a lot of people who are very, very angry, and they use social media as an outlet. And I see some vile, mean, angry, malicious things on all sides of the spectrums, and it is disturbing. I see a lot of that, and you see it on the news. People, you know, you wear this hat or that shirt or that jacket, and somebody is going to hate you. And I'm pretty dismayed by that. If someone has a question about me or what I do or what I believe in, I will love to sit down and have a conversation. And I've tried many times, and some people can, some people can't. When it turns into a screaming and yelling, you're wrong,
I walk away. So,
try as much as you can, but it is frustrating. So I gather some of that is where this gentleman's statement is coming from.
Look at what happened in Lewiston. That fellow was beaten to death in a park down there by 10 to 12 individuals. Why?
Now, what would you have done in that? This is what I'm trying to get at. What would you have done in that
separated
situation?
Them.
With a gun, you would have said, all right.
It's any way we
absolute
can.
Last resort, but...
Have you ever done anything like that? Because I do have a quote here from a fellow. His name is Bruce Brierly, quoted saying, some of the militias have a bad reputation. The militia in Maine are very docile.
You know who Bruce, who he is?
Yeah, he used to
the
be...
The first selectman of Sisborne.
Right.
And he is a veteran. And
he says you're docile.
He has to be very careful, of course, because he's got people in his community that say, oh, my God, the militia, they're going to eat us, you know, run off with all the farm animals.
And a lot of other people in the community that very much support us.
But if you walked into, say, the Belfast City Park and there were, riots going on, you'd pull your gun out and you'd say, now, settle down and you go over here and you get over there?
It would depend on the situation. We don't pull guns out. I would probably pull out my pencil and start taking down license plate numbers and taking pictures. People don't like their picture taken.
These cell phones are really
That's
changing
right.
the...
And saying, hey, let's get some common ground here.
If you saw one of these policemen, as we were seeing on all these cell phone videos, beating to death, say, a black person or something, would you jump in?
Of course.
You would?
Of course.
You'd pull the gun on the policeman and say,
no,
back off, Jack?
I had to get away from the gun thing. We're not pulling guns all the time.
Okay.
If he's beating up somebody, he doesn't have his gun pulled, I'm going to tackle him.
Yeah.
Unless the...
Have you ever done anything like that, though, really?
Wow. I've stopped irrational behavior that way. I mean, if
There's
somebody
There's a lot
is,
of domestic violence in Maine.
If somebody is being violent and needs to be subdued... with, you know, headlocks or I don't know, anything. That's something else. But if someone is being, you know...
If you're right there and it's happening.
Being attacked and someone else is doing the attacking, who... It very much depends.
You might start getting a lot of calls from a lot of women in this state.
A lot
because
of legal issues.
Yeah.
You have to be careful because yeah. I'll sue you, you sue
That's
me, you
right.
sue everybody.
It occurred to me of that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and the only one wins on that, win, lose, or draw, the lawyer gets paid.
That's right.
You know, so, I mean, something like a prostitute.
Have you ever been threatened with being sued about that?
No, not that I can remember anything.
So you walk into the park and there's some man beating on his wife or whatever, and you walk in there and you just, like, get out and you just talk mean to him and... You know you have a gun. That helps bolster your...
I worked the Belfast waterfront for 18 years. And I've seen just about everything. And John brought up the situation of beating on somebody and having no response. Well, I was down that Stinson Canyon. I was walking from there to the warehouse about 2 o'clock in the morning. I had that same thing happen. I carried a 5-cell mag flashlight, aluminum, and he come out and swung at me. Well, that was a fool thing to do.
Now you're on defense.
2 o'clock in the morning, you're on my property here.
Yeah.
And I punched him in the head, and he shook it off, and I said, we've got a problem. So as I swung around, I pulled my mag light, and I clipped him upside the head. He shook that off.
Uh-oh.
On the return swing, I hit him even harder. That one put him down. And I said, I got a real problem here. So as he was getting up on all four, I ran up behind him and kicked a field goal with his kahunas.
Did you have a gun on you at the time?
I have steel-toed motorcycle boots.
Uh-oh, ouch.
I lifted him. Now, if that had been any other
male... But he lived.
He got up.
how he got up.
I said, now it's game on. I reached in my pocket
to get the
pistol.
Gun. Last resort.
Around the corner come the police. It took three of us after they sprayed him with mace. They didn't have tasers at the time. That was like putting salad dressing on him. Okay? They wrestled him. He tore up uniform, pounded and beaten. When we finally got cuffs on him, we found out that later on, is he walking like a sea crab the next day because of his encounter with my steel-toed boot, he was on PCP. Yeah. I could have shot him, and if it wasn't a vital organ that I hit, he would have gotten me. So a gun wouldn't have been effective in that situation.
Interesting. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on the program, Mac Page, John Butler.
Thank you.
Really appreciating hearing your perspective today. And is there a phone number or contact information that people can reach you if they're interested in either you're pursuing some buddy that is after them, or...
Well, not only that, if they want to learn how to cook a rabbit, if they want to learn how to plant a garden, if they want to know the proper use of a firearm, we have licensed NRA instructors. We have our own firing range. We have our own training camp. Oh, yes, we do.
Training camp.
And 323-4402 is my number.
Okay, that's Mac Page. And you want to give that number again slowly?
323-4402. And I'm the tallest hog at the trough. Starts with me.
Okay. We do have themainmilitia.com, and that's with the T-H-E in the beginning, themainmilitia.com. And most of the requests or information or comments we get is off the Facebook page. It's The Main Militia on
Facebook. So you just search for that.
There was a group that started Main Militia, I think, a couple years ago, and it lasted a year. It was two guys sitting at a keyboard. So if you see The Main Militia, and there's a picture of our patch that has a bear on it, that's
But
us.
Of course, we don't know how big you are, and you don't know, or
do
you?
We're in all 16 counties. We're up and running in all 16 counties.
At least one person.
One to 100.
So possibly 1,600.
And don't tell me that you're all used up. You can't do this. You can't do that. I don't like it when somebody says, I can't do. I will find something for you to do. Maybe you know a great formula for beanhole beans.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Oh, they are wonderful, dear.
I know.
I know they are. Not eating. And we have a fellow that went on a trip to see his daughter to, where did he go? Some foreign country, Bengawi.
Yes,
that's
Bengawi.
The country, Bengawi.
Is there a country,
and
Bengawi?
He was bored out of his mind because she was helping the tribals there. So he went over to the ancient Maya ruins and observed that they had a cooking facility from the ancient Mayans. So he went back to the village and built one. Before he was done, he had built six.
Cool.
Now he's building one for us.
That is awesome.
I'm afraid
we're going to have to stop the program. We're kind of in overtime. It's been wonderful having you on the show. And I want to thank John Butler and Mac Page of the Main Militia. And I want to let listeners know that tomorrow, Sunday, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Used to Be Church, which is behind the First Church, we're going to have a potluck for the radio station and a meeting. You can come and meet all the announcers and have some fun. And also, next week, I want to let you know that County Commissioner Betty Johnson is going to be on. And the following week, Russ Barber with the Maine Rail Group. So thank you so much. And we really appreciate your listening. And we will talk to you next week.